Okay, so the last few weeks we set up the background to this very practical question, which is inviting non-Jews on Yom Tov for a meal. Now I just realized I forgot to put one of the two that I wanted to. I'll put it on next week, it's fine. Okay, the Gemara paskens that there's two opinions. What is limited by Achashe Yochel Hal Nefesh? So we have the position of Rabbi Yossi that it excludes giving food cooking food for animals on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Kiva who says that it excludes giving food to non-Jews. So first, before we get into the issue of inviting non-Jews, just to flesh out quickly the issue of how do we paskin in terms of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva, and then we'll focus on the part that we definitely paskin alacha, which is lachem lo la'ovdei kochavim. So you look at the sources here. So the Meiri writes as follows. He says, "Ve'ein lanu ba tzorach och." Did I already skip to? I skipped straight. I just put that on the side. It doesn't really fit with anything else. We'll come back to Meiri though. Okay. Well, no, you know, I'll put the Meiri out as a parenthetical comment now. Just in terms of the word Ovdei Kochavim, right, what does that refer to? So like, as I mentioned last week, the simplest understanding is Rabbi Yossi Aglili excludes animals, Rabbi Kiva excludes all non-Jews, and Akum probably wasn't the original word in the Gemara. The word was probably Nachri, and the censors, because of the censors, they switched it to Akum, or the censors switched it to Akum, or something like that. But, right, this was... You find this throughout Shas, that whenever something refers to a non-Jew in any possible way that could be negative and sometimes even not, so they switch it to Akum, because that's less offensive, because Christians didn't view themselves as idol worshippers, and therefore they weren't included in this category. But the simplest understanding is that both Klavim and Akum, to the extent that they're excluded because, at least the simplest way I would say, is because Achashe Yochel Chol Nefesh Levado Yasa Lechem tells you that the heter, the permission to do malach on Yom Tov, is driven by the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, the people who are obviously included are Jews. Non-Jews, even if you can have a meal with them, you can be friends with them, right, with whatever limitations Chazal put on that, they don't have a mitzvah in Simchas Yom Tov. And if the only reason we can cook on Yom Tov is to aid in the mitzvah of Kiyum Simchas Yom Tov, so that doesn't include non-Jews. And the same thing is true of animals. And the reason why you might say animals are different is, as the Gemara says, right, if we just look back at it, right, at the top of Chaf Aleph, we've seen this Gemara already several times, but the Gemara asks, four lines in, Umara Yisrael, Rabos is Aklavim, Lahotzle is Aovidi Kacham, if I had to choose one, why would I say you're allowed to feed animals and not non-Jews? Because Marveni is Aklavim, Shem Mizonos and Alecha. Umoseni is Aovidi Kacham, Shem Mizonos and Alecha. Because animals, I mean your pets, you're at least responsible for their food. So it may not be Simchas Yom Tov, but part of your normal day is providing food for your pets. So that might be allowed on Yom Tov, but feeding non-Jews, again, that's not your responsibility, and therefore, it shouldn't apply. You shouldn't be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. We'll see in just a minute. The possible exception to that is obviously going to be, what if it's a non-Jew who it is your responsibility to feed, right? Like an Evid, right? And that's the obvious question that the poskim deal with. But despite this sort of what I think is straightforward logic, the reason that there are these limitations is because the heter ochel nefesh is related in some way to the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. The Meiri, as I mentioned last week briefly, has a position which appears over 140 times throughout his commentary, that all the limitations that Chazal put on non-Jews, pretty much, refer exclusively to idol worshippers, literally idol worshippers, and not simply non-Jews. And therefore he says in Source 1, Ve'ein lanu ba tzorach ochel nefesh, ho ve'ein mizonosan aloinu, right? We don't have any ochel nefesh for the non-Jews because we don't have to feed them. Shrei stam gayim amar b'talmud peirusho ba'valei ha'emunot ha'pdumot ba'avodot ha'alilim. And who is this excluding? The worshippers of idols, pagans. But by implication, the phrase he usually uses is people who are gdurim begidrei hadatot, people who are religious, right, who are not pagans but belong to some sort of ethical religion, are not in this category, and therefore they are, you are allowed to in fact cook for them. Now I will point out that this, in this scenario, seems to make absolutely no sense. You can go, you know, in two ways with this. You know, I was reading an article. There was an article which I didn't even put the sources here from it. I find it very, very unlikely to be true. And another Rav who I sent the, you know, just when I was looking for sources, I sent him an email. He said he had reviewed this email and also found it to be very unlikely to be true. But there was an article in Me'orot in 5769, which is the Halacha Journal from Chovaveh, where Rabbi Love had tried to compile a series of heterim to allow inviting non-Jews on Yom Tov. And even though he was pulling out pretty much any heter that is found in Poskim, plus inventing a few of his own, and I'll mention at the end what his heter, what his central heter was. That wasn't like derogatory. It was meant as, this is my chiddush, right? Here is my new heter. He, in a footnote, notes that he's not willing to accept the Meiri in this case, as even at Tzad Lakel, because it doesn't make any sense, right? If it's one thing to say that the negative comments in Chazal refer to non-Jews, to idol worshipers and not non-Jews. It's a totally another thing to say that non-Jews should be involved, should be included in the heter of Ochel Nefesh, which seems to be predicated on being Chayav and Yom Tov, which they're not. To the point where when I asked Rabbi Turchiner, right, Turchiner, without hesitation, said it is obviously, it's obvious to him that the Meiri put this in for censors, right? And the Meiri could not possibly have meant it, because in this context, it just doesn't make any sense. And I tend to agree. Now, I don't know whether it was put in by censors. I'm not that confident. It could be that the Meiri was so convinced by this Shita, and was so convinced you should blur the lines between Jews and religious non-Jews, that he really did believe this. I really don't know. But this basic argument in the Gemara seems to be that the reason that Ochel Nefesh exists is to provide for people who are chayiv in the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. Non-Jews are clearly excluded, and animals who we own may or may not be excluded. Okay, but within that framework, once we know that we're willing to slightly expand the understanding of who is considered, you know, the food that the Jew is responsible for, we then have to ask the question, okay, well, if Akum isn't a full formal exclusion, it's just a description of the type of person you don't have to feed, and isn't Chayav and Simchas Yom Tov, then we have to ask the question, okay, well, what about an Evan? What about a Shivcha? What about someone who you do have a responsibility to? So the Rosh in 2 says as follows, V'im nishlach shliach nachrit li Yisrael b'yom tov, mutar l'achilo b'yom tov. If a shliach happens to come to an Yom Tov, so you're allowed to feed him, right? That's that. We already know from the Gemara, as we'll see at the end, that the problem is inviting. If someone happens to show up, you can give him food. Okay. V'chein no'agin ba'ashkenaz, she'yesh lehen avad ha'mishvachos nachrim. And in Ashkenaz, people feed their servants that are non-Jews. T'lo aser b'shub ben Levi el lezamin es ha'nachri shehu chafetz b'karo. U'mar be'lo manos. And he says, why? Okay, so here we already start getting into what will become important. So to just remind ourselves where we are in the Gemara. The Gemara has two points that are relevant for non-Jews. One is the Delraisa, which is you can't cook for non-Jews. And the second is the Derabanan, you can't invite non-Jews. Even if you're not going to cook for them, Gzeira, you might cook for them. Okay. So when you're talking about your avatim and shvachos, you have a double question. One is, are they included in the d'oraisa? And two is, even if it is usher to cook for them, right? Well, what does that mean? Right? As we saw, there's a machlokes rishonim, and we'll see it again, as to when we say it's usher to cook for goyim, is that even if it's only mar bishurim, even if you're just adding food to your pot for them, or only when you're cooking in a separate pot. If you think d'oraisa is permitted to cook for even for a non-Jew, as long as it's in the same pot, and the gzeira is only because you're going to cook in another pot or something like that, so then you can solve the d'oraisa problem by simply cooking the same pot. But can you solve the d'rabbanan problem? So that's what the Rush picks up on. And the Rush says, look, the d'oraisa problem, he says, we don't consider them mizonos and alecha enough to include them in the d'oraisa. Right? That's clearly what he's saying. But the d'rabbanan, that we're worried that if you cook extra in your pot, you'll end up cooking in another pot for the guy, that won't apply to the avadim. Why? It's only the d'rabbanan is only when you invite him because you want to honor him. Umar belomanos, right? So if he's a vegetarian, you're going to cook him a vegetarian dish. If he likes, right, a particular dish that you don't necessarily like, you might make it for him. You might go out of your way for him. And we're worried that you're going to cook something special for him. But if you were only going to cook in your pot, the Rosh Paskins that Mar Bashirim is mutter for a guy, it's only in a new pot that it's asr. So he says the daraisa is solved by doing it in the same pot, and there's no derabanan concern because the derabanan concern is only guests. But your servants, right? They're part of your household. You're not going out of your way to make special dishes for them, right? You know exactly what you're cooking in advance. So what would come out for the Rush is that biblically, all non-Jews are excluded because they're not in the midst of Simchas Yom Tov. Animals, maybe yes, maybe no, depending on how you paskin vis-a-vis your BOC. But that's only the derabanan. But the daraisa, but on the derabanan level, the only types of non-Jews we're going to exclude in the secondary sir, meaning not even inviting them, is going to be people who you, right, guests. People are defined as chashuv guests. Okay. Now how do we paskin in terms of the animals? So here, if you look at the Rif in 3, the Rif says, Isis aklavim, bizman sharom ochlan mimena, chayeves bichalo, v'nefes biyom tov, v'chulei. Right, that was the sugya of Isis aklavim. We're going to come back to it next week. I just figured we should get through the main points, and we'll do the parenthetical ones next week. The kaimel on stam masnisen, umachlokes debraisa halacha kistam, masni, v'hilchas akir biozi aglili, desosalim la tona kavase. So he says as follows, the Brisa says that you can only make the bread for the dogs if the shepherds will also eat it. Now that Brisa doesn't bring machlokas. It doesn't say that there are some people who say you're allowed to cook for animals. But according, if you didn't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, meaning you paskin like Rabbi Kiva, that only non-Jews are excluded and not animals, so then why should you wait for Isis HaKlavim for the shepherds to want to eat it? Simply say that you're allowed to cook for animals. Haraya, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, which means that lahalacha, we exclude from the heter v'ochel nevesh both non-Jews and animals. The Balamor, in 4, challenges the Rif, and he says, I don't think it's true. He says, ha depozik arif zal k'Rabbi Yossi aglili damar lachem lo l'klavim. That which the Rif says that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that we exclude animals, lo nira li dvarav, he's wrong. Mida Amar le Abayi le Rav Yosef, because Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Aglili, Hani Sufsele lechiyusa hechadinin lo biyamatava. Because the next sugya in our Gemara, if you look at our Gemara, and this is what we're going to do next week, is the issues of Muktza. Hopefully, we'll get both Issa Klavim and Muktza done next week and be up to the Mishnah. That's my hope, but who knows? Amar le Abayi le Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Aglili, Amar lechem lo klavim, according to Rav Yosef, that we say lochem excludes animals. So hani sufsli lechiyuzei cheshadun lo biyomdav. How do you throw him the leftovers on the bottom of your the pits of fruit that are left on the bottom of the plate, right after you have an apple, which are muktzah because now they're worthless, but you can throw them to dogs to eat. But how can you do that? It's muktzah. So amrlei, they're not muktzah. All v'chazul lahasaka, because you could use them for a fire. And therefore, once they have a purpose, they're not muksa. Once they're not muksa, so you can throw on the floor and let the dog eat it. So the Gemara says, fine. That's fine if they're dry, but what if they're wet? They won't burn. So the Gemara says, I'm a little chazal as a gadol. If you put it in a big enough fire, they'll burn anyways. That's fine. And Yom Tov, what about on Shabbos? So Gemara says, "Metaltin lagav rifta." You're right; it will be mukta on Shabbos, but you'll put it on top of a piece of bread, and you'll be allowed to carry it that way. And the Gemara goes on like this, and we'll come back to it next week. But the point is that the Gemara goes through this lengthy discussion to try to explain how it's mutter to violate mukta for the purpose of animals, and the Gemara ends up assuming it's not. It's just that we have all these solutions to make it that what you're feeding the animals are not mukta. So the Baal HaMor says, wait a second. The Gemara says, the Gemara goes through great lengths to explain why it's usher to use mukta to feed animals, and tries to explain why it's not mukta. But all those answers are not lahalacha, because it's not sufficient for something to be usable in a big fire to make it not mukta, I mean to make it considered relevant. Because in fact we paskin that you can't touch these wet seeds. And we learn explicitly mechatchen as a nevela lifnei aklavim afilu b'shabbos. And we say explicitly that you're allowed to chop up dead animals to give to dogs even on Shabbos. The kol shegein biyomtov and rishon yomtov and tzadim chayva of min abibrim biyomtov and osan lefnei mizonos. Says veheich efshar litchol kol elu mishum mishna yichida. You have all this evidence that you're violating mukta to feed animals, and you have one mishnah which says that you're not allowed to bake bread for dogs unless it's going to go to the shepherds. And Mishnah Chidot, he says, Klavim, Shanis, Niskarab, Yosef, Glila, Avgrav, Gror. And that's only parenthetical, because it's in the context of a Mishnah which is talking about other things. The Eruv, Vishituf, Ubracha, Vizimun, Vichalo, Matzah, Betach. And maybe even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you can't bake bread for dogs, but not because he thinks it's osur to cook for dogs on Yom Tov. El bezman sharom ochlim and he calls in Yerulanu shalacha k'Rabbi Akiva domra filu nevet behema b'mashma sulamidis. And maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree because it's too much of a tircha. Right, so he has a two-pronged argument. He says, first of all, we know that you can violate mukta to feed animals on Yom Tov. And two, maybe the reason you can't bake for animals on Yom Tov is not because it's the heter bochel nevesh doesn't apply to animals. It's because it's too much work. It's unjustified. There's no reason for it because the animals don't need baked bread. Right? It's not because you can't do malacha for them. It's because you don't need to do this malacha for them. So based on those two arguments, the Baal HaMor paskins like Rabbi Kiva and not Rabbi Yossi. And he sees them as mutually exclusive. So he paskins that lahalacha, you're allowed to cook for non-Jews, you're not allowed to cook for animals. Right? So that's the position of the Baal HaMor. But as the Rush says the obvious, right? What's the obvious problem with the Baal HaMor? Right? The Baal HaMor said it's wrong to say that you can't cook for animals because we know you can violate mukta for animals. Right? That doesn't make any sense because mukta is terabanan, right? That doesn't tell you, but d'oraisa. That's what the Rush says. If you look at that, we call it Mishnah as Raya or Bekiva. Atu mi ikoman de polig betiltal mazonos litten and flame behema field b'Shabbos. He says, what are you talking about? That's even on Shabbos when ochel nefesh isn't an issue, because it's not about ochel nefesh. It's about derabanans of mukta. V'arav alfazi dal pasuk Rabbi Yosef gli leshasu levashal lefas b'yom tol tzorach behema and the riff paskets it's aser. Which, okay, but now that brings us, right, that was just sort of, like I said, I want to just get that out of the way. How do we paskin? What comes out is that Rov Rishonim paskin like the position of Rabbi Akiva, that we exclude non-Jews, and like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that we exclude animals. The Baal HaMor says, no, we paskin that it's mutter to cook for non-Jews, and it's only usher for, right, for animals. Did I get that right? We posit Rabbi Akiva that you're allowed to cook for... No, sorry, that you're allowed to cook for animals. The only exclusion is non-Jews, right? The way we paskin is that both are excluded, animals and non-Jews. According to the Baal HaMor, the only thing that's excluded is non-Jews, but animals we paskin is mutter. Okay, but what that brings us to is that we still have that we paskin like at least Rabbi Kiva and possibly, right, both limitations. And therefore the question becomes, okay, well, if we paskin that we can't feed non-Jews, so then, okay, how do or can we invite non-Jews on Yom Tov? Because as we saw last week already, the Gemara says that not only can you not, and this is, if you skip down, the Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, there's about 10 lines from the, before the end of the short lines. Don Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Mizamnin Zanachri b'Shabbos, Vein Mizamnin Zanachri b'Yom Tov. You can invite non-Jews on Shabbos, but not on Yom Tov. Gzeirah Shem Yarba b'Shvilo, because you might cook extra for him. And if you skip all the way now to the four or five lines before the Mishnah, third wide line, Adabre Rava Lamar Shmuel V'Darash Mezamner Zanachre B'Shabbos Vein Mezamner Zanachre B'Yom Tov Gzeres Shem Yarba B'Shvilo. You can invite a non-Jew on Shabbos, but not on Yom Tov, because you might cook extra for him. And Mereimar Marzutra Miklu Nachre B'Yom Tov. And when they would have a non-Jew come on Yom Tov, Amrulay, they would say, Nicholach B'Mai D'Tricholon Mutav. If you are happy and it's sufficient for you that which we've already cooked, fine. But just know, we're not cooking anything extra for you. Don't worry, we're gonna come back to this. But the Gemara paskins, right? We paskin that you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew, and that leads to the Rabbanan that not only are you not allowed to cook for a non-Jew, but you can't even invite a non-Jew. Okay, but now why can't you cook? So now to the question. We understand now why a non-Jew is excluded. We understand why an animal may or may not be excluded and why it may be a middle case. But what heter there, is there any heter to invite non-Jews? The Gemara is pretty clear. You're not allowed to. Well, to figure out whether there's any heter to invite non-Jews, you've got to figure out, well, why did Chazal make gzeira from it being usher to cook for non-Jews to not only it being usher to cook for non-Jews, but it being usher to even invite non-Jews, right? Why would you go from step one to step two? So there's basically three possibilities here, okay, that the Rishonim raise. Why would you say, again, why would you say that because it's usher to cook for non-Jews, you can't invite them? So let's say you cooked all your food on Yom Tov, but you were cooking it in one big pot, right? You were using Ribui Shiurim. So then why would you say that it's usher to invite non-Jews? You could have just said, don't cook for the non-Jew in another pot. Okay. Or alternatively, cook before Yom Tov. Why don't we just say cook before Yom Tov? Why are we worried that you... What are we worried you're going to do for the non-Jew that's going to create the problem? So there's really three possibilities that I can think of here. Okay? One is that, as we saw in Tosfos, there are positions who think that Ribui Shiurim for a non-Jew is usur. That Ribui Shiurim is only mutter if it's for a Jew. If you think that, then it's obvious why you aren't allowed to invite a non-Jew on Yom Tov. Because cooking extra food in the same pot is only mutter if it's also for a Jew. But if you do it for a non-Jew, it's not just not ochel nefesh, it's anti-ochel nefesh, and therefore becomes usur. And if that's the case, then obviously you can't invite non-Jews. Right, and we saw that already in Tosfos, yeah.
Why do you need some kind of heter permission to cook extra food for other Jews who you have coming?
No. Meaning, not for Yom Tov. Meaning, Tosfos had said, Tosfos had said that it's mutter to cook extra in a pot, even if it's for after Yom Tov, as long as it's for Jews, right? Cooking for Yom Tov is not extra.
What's the difference whether it's for someone Jewish or someone not Jewish?
So that's what we said 2 weeks ago, right? It sounds like, according to those positions, that cooking for a non-Jew is anti-Ochel Nefesh, and cooking for after Yom Tov is non-Ochel Nefesh. Right? So therefore, for after Yom Tov, you can't cook a separate pot, but you can put extra in the same pot. For a non-Jew, it's anti-Ochel Nefesh, and therefore you couldn't even cook in the same pot. So that would be possibility one. According to that, there really should be no such heter. There should be no heterim. Right? The answer is, it's also to cook for a non-Jew. And even if you put in a slight bit extra with the non-Jew in mind, it's automatically usher. So it makes a lot of sense why it's usher to invite a non-Jew for Yom Tov. And you'll tell me, oh, you'll cook before Yom Tov. First of all, in the time of Chazal, that was not realistic. Second of all, even if we've cooked before Yom Tov, if you're an Ashkenazi, right, the Rambam paskens that warming up soup is an iser d'oraisa of bishul, and you're still doing that, right? You're still warming up liquids, right? And Yom Tov, we aren't makbid like we are on Shabbos. According to the Rambam, on Shabbos that's usher, which means on Yom Tov it's only mutter because of ochel nefesh. So if you hold like those positions that Rivui Shurim for Goyim is usher, so then the answer is obvious. The reason that we forbid inviting Goyim is because there's no possible way of cooking beheter for non-Jews. But let's say you paskin, as we'll see, the Beis Yosef does paskin, Rov Poskim really do paskin, that Rivui Shurim is always, always mutter. That when you add food to the pot, it's not considered a new act. So then why can't you invite a non-Jew? Just say, okay, so I won't cook for the non-Jew. I'll cook for everybody and I'll just make sure to have a bigger pot. Right? That should solve all of your problems. Why would I have made a gzeira for the non-Jew? So here, the Rishonim bring basically two possibilities. One is you might
cook
in a separate pot. Right? You might make him a special dish, in which case it's usher. Alternatively, the Rashba goes even more extreme. You might cook something that isn't just... Now, saying you're going to cook in a separate pot is problematic because you're not allowed to cook in a separate pot. But on the other hand, let's say the non-Jew doesn't show up. You'll eat that food. Right? So that's problematic, but maybe solvable because of ho'il or something like that. There's one case which is even more egregious, which is?
Something he likes you don't like.
Well, yeah, let's get more egregious than that. Not just something he likes.
Something
crave. Right? The Rashba says what you're worried about is that if you're inviting a chashuv non-Jewish guest, you're going to cook crave for him, which is definitionally not ochel nefesh because no Jew could eat it. So we'll see that inside. The Ran...
That would be during the week also. What's the difference between Yom Tov?
No, because you're allowed to cook for him during the week. But in Yom Tov, you couldn't because it would be... Why not?
He gave an example of trade.
No, why can't you
cook treif in your house?
For the non-Jew. Yeah,
no, but it's not prohibited.
Yeah. Well, I would make exer for sure. Well, then you might tell me
you're right. I wonder this with the Rashba, how often it was that the Rashba was cooking treif for chashuv non-Jews, but maybe it happens. I don't know, right?
Well, if you're a community leader and,
Right, but now, I mean, I assume it was, like, it's clearly a very different reality than we live in, because now, even if it's the expectation that the community leaders will invite non-Jews over, it's not expected that they will cook non-kosher for them, right? It's the other way around,
the opposite.
Right? Exactly. If we go to a non-Jew, we expect them to accommodate kosher food. No one expects us to accommodate... Right.
Plus, it's too high. You're invited to the Jews, so you know you're getting
right. Exactly, you're getting kosher blessed food. Right. It's like it's like all the parody videos of the right. You know, of the anti vegetarians. Right. The people who are morally opposed to eating vegetables. Right. Showing what it is like. I mean, I find them funny. I'm a vegetarian, so people always cook extra for me. I always say don't. Right. But. You know, I like seeing what it would look like in the opposite, right? If you had someone who was morally opposed to eating any vegetables, right? What that looked like. But that's basically, right, in our minds, that's basically what this looks like, because we can't even imagine somebody insisting that he be served dafka treif, right? You can also eat kosher, but okay. So the Ron summarizes both of these positions. He says, Perish, what does it mean? Six. What are we worried about? Perish b'gdeir acheres. That you're going to cook for him in another pot. If it's in the same pot, it's mutter, shakdera yafek, sheishmat basar maruba. We already said you're allowed to fill up the pot because the more food, the better the meat is. And even though in a second pot, he doesn't think it's asar midar raisa, because, and we already saw that this is a machlokas, right? Because we paskin like Rabbah of Ho'il, that sin guests might come. Now, we already pointed out that Ho'il can either mean that because in theory guests will come, no matter what you cook, it can never be usher d'oraisa, which is how the Ran is taking it. Or the way I think is much more mistaber is no. Ho'il just tells you you can't get malchus because I can't prove to you that it's not going to be necessary on Yom Tov, but it's still usher me d'oraisa to cook for a non-Jew or cook for Motzei Yom Tov. But the Ran takes the position that Ho'il makes it mutter. So he says, even though cooking in another pot is technically mutter mida oraisa, because of Ho'il, because if guests came, Jewish guests come, you would give it to the Jews. Afilu achi kevin shu asui la harbos b'shvilo chashinan. Since you are going to cook extra for the non-Jew, we're worried and therefore we don't let you do it. V'achirim, and this is the Rashba, Perishu de l'shem yarba bishvilo dvarim haasurim chayshinan deika isur daraisa. Maybe it's worse that you're going to cook treif where it can't possibly be construed as ochel nefesh, and that's why it's asur. And then he says, "V'im tomar hani avde dilan heichi mevashlin lubiyom atova." Okay, but if there's an absolute exclusion for non-Jews, then how can we cook for the avadim? Right? As we go through this, I want keep an eye on what the gzera was and what the exceptions are based on those reasons. Right? So far we've seen the Rush, who says we're not willing to waive the daraisa, we're willing to waive the dirabanan, because the reason we're worried you might cook in a separate pot is because you have a chashuv guest. But that concern doesn't exist by avadim ushvachos, but you still can't cook in a separate pot for him, because that would be daraisa, and therefore what you have to do for avadim ushvachos is be marba b'shvila. So according to the Rush, the only thing we're ready to waive for any type of non-Jew is the Darabanan, but not the Daraisa, and only Avadim Ushvachos. The Ran says, "Hani avdi dilan heichim evashlenu biyametova. How can you cook for your servants? V'lo chashin shema yarba b'shvilan." She says, "Yesh lo markeven degzera deshema yarba lesa ella o machmas dvar masur machmas gedera acheres." So he says, since the only reason that we say you can't, we're worried on a Darabanan level, is because you might cook a separate pot of cooked treif. Ba'avdi dilan lo shayach hachi klal. That's not going to happen here. Dimizumanin bilvaj adam osili eskabid bohen hu di'ikal emechash lahachi. The only person you're going to do that for is a guest, not for your servants, exactly like the Rush. Umihu mashma de laharbos bepas bishvilan asur. But if you think that we're only waiving the Darabanan, but not the Daraisa, what would come out is that you're allowed to cook extra soup for a non-Jew, but you're not allowed to bake bread for the non-Jew, because we paskin that ribui shirim by pas is not mutter, because it's an extra loaf of bread, right? If you don't paskin, like shum ben alazar. So he says, since in light of the Rush, we're only allowing you for avadim to waive the darabanan, not the daraisa. So you're allowed to cook for them as long as it's in the same pot, but you're not allowed to bake for them because that's considered a separate pot because it's a separate act. Unless you have other food you could give to the servants, and then the bread is maybe going to go to them and maybe going to stay with you. And this is based on the Gemara's claim before, Kedarmin Bises Aklavim, that even for the dogs, you're allowed to break bread as long as it's not set that the bread will go to them, because you have, in theory, nevela that you could feed the dogs. So the Ron extrapolates and says, you're allowed to bake bread which might go to your servants as long as there's other food there that they could eat, because then you could always change your mind and say you're going to eat the bread. But fundamentally, all you're allowed to do for them is riba shurim. The af al pisha ra'isi misha hitir mipnei shemezonos on aleinu. And he says, but wait a second. I've seen some people who've said, no, even the d'oraisa can be waived for avadim unshvachos, because, as we said before, animals are mutter, according to Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Kiva, because mizonos and alecha. Well, if you think that the rule is those who are mizonos and alecha, you're allowed to cook for on Yom Tov, it's not descriptive of animals, but it's prescriptive. Anyone who is mizonos and alecha, you're allowed to cook for on Yom Tov, then not only could you waive the derabanan, like the Rosh and the Ran, you could even waive the de'oraisa. Mitam zeh tiru af ben nachriah holechem in Israel mivneishem mizonoson aleinu, and therefore you're allowed to even cook for a non-Jew who is part of your entourage.
I can't you distinguish between an animal and an
evidence? So you can now. The person really who does is Tosfos. Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Yotes says that goyim are mizonoson alecha enough to waive derabanans. Right, he said, because we paskin mefarnes and anini akum imani Yisrael, you have obligations towards non-Jews.
So they can cook for themselves.
Right, or whatever. But so that's enough. The fact that, yes, we have some responsibilities towards them is enough to say that we're allowed to, that mukta doesn't apply and things like that. But the araisas, right, no, because even if You have to feed them. Their dependence on you is not the same as the dependence of your animals on you, right? Their dependence is mitigated, you know, for the simple reason, yeah, you could give them the raw materials and they could cook for themselves, right? There are things you could do that would mitigate the problem. But there, so the Ron rejects it. But there are Rishonim who say that no, in light of the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Kiva, if you think that we also reject Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which is not clear that we reject Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but if you paskin like the Balamor, that you reject Rabbi Yossi Aglili, meaning it's only usher to cook for non-Jews, but not for animals, and you say that it's not really animals or non-Jews, it's you're allowed to cook for anyone who you have to feed and not people you don't have to feed, then not only could you waive the Darabanan, you could even waive the Daraisa for Avadim and Shvachos. But the Ron rejects it, says Lonis Chavrali. Ella divri misha posuk rabbi kivit. Amar nefilu nefesh behema b'mash. From nature was a son aleinu. Kamo shech v'samuk v'siyat d'shmaya. Da'asa harif. She posuk rabbi zeg lili. And in your call, he said, that's very nice, but it assumes many things, including paskin like the Balamor. But we don't paskin like the Balamor. We think animals are also us, which tells you the mezonos on alecha isn't an excuse. So therefore, what we have from the Ron is, or to summarize where we are so far, you have the position of the Balamor, that we only exclude non-Jews and not animals. You have someone in light of the Balamor who says it's not even that we exclude non-Jews, it's we only exclude non-Jews, so you don't have to feed, because they're more similar to the Klavim, right, in a positive sense, right? I can get in a lot of trouble for that comment. In the positive sense, meaning we have responsibilities towards them, and therefore you're allowed to cook for them. We don't paskin like that, so that heter falls away. So then the question is, okay, the Daraisa is an effect for Avadim and Shvachos, but what about the Darabanan? So, the Ran notes that the only reason that we went from the Daraisa to the Darabanan is if you think that Ribui Shiurim is mutter, so the only thing you're worried about is cooking in a new pot or cooking treif, but that you're not going to do for Avadim and Shvachos, so while the Daraisa still applies, meaning you can only cook in the same pot, and you can't maybe make separate loaves of bread, the Darabanan is going to be waived because they're not the type of person you would cook extra for. The principle that we're going to have to carry to halacha, though, is that one, right? Is that the Rosh is willing to say that the Dirabanan of inviting goyim, and this is the first heter we have, the Dirabanan of inviting goyim will be waived in a case where there's fundamentally no concern that you would cook extra for them. Now, how that's going to play to halacha, we'll see. But that's possible factor one, lekula.
You just make sure you only own one pot.
Yes, exactly. Have one pot. And yes, and therefore you can't trafe it up. Okay.
Or you order out from Sobeys.
Or you order out. Okay. The... Now, you know what? I'll skip to this just to set it up, and then we'll come back here. Now, the second type of heter, therefore, could be exactly what you just said, is if you think, right, possibility one, the type of case when we would be matir is cases where there's no reason to assume that you would cook extra for this person because they're not chashu enough. Okay. What's another reason you might not cook extra? Because everything is cooked, right? It's prepared. Right. So if you look, for example, you skip to 11, the Magen Avraham actually paskins that way. Achar shetikin kol tzurchei seuda samachluzim mutar lazmino. At least, right before the meal, you could actually go out of your way and invite him, because right before the meal, you're not making anything extra. Maybe not before Yom Tov, you can't invite him, but, you know, you see him in the street an hour before the meal, you're not cooking anything extra. He came to shul, right? Why he came to shul? Whatever, he came to shul, right? You're not going anywhere in the meantime. You're going straight from there to lunch. So Magen Avraham says, let's take it a step further. Not only when we're not worried that you're going to cook something extra for him, but even if we're just assuming you're not going to cook anymore because it's prepared, so it's mutter. He says, but that's only, of course, if you're, this is not harama, right? You can't say, oh, I'm going to invite that guy for the meal, but I can't invite him before Yom Tov, so I'll tell him, why don't you come to davening? Why don't you come to the synagogue on the first night of Passover, and you can see the experience knowing he's going to come and then invite him, right? Obviously, that doesn't work. You had it in mind. It has to be literally before the meal.
But Avraham really defeats the essence of what the Rabbanim is all about, right? They're saying, don't do it because you might. So here we're saying, okay, you know, but you'll invite him right before. I mean, that still leads to you.
Correct. And as we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah is going to reject the Magen Avraham entirely because of what you just said. But possibility to, and again, this may not be true l'halacha, is that you're even allowed to invite non-Jews if it's close enough that you would assume that the food was prepared. Now, some modern articles that I've seen, and I don't find it compelling for exactly the reason you say, try to extend the Magen Avraham and say, okay, if you want to invite Goyim, so just cook everything before Yom Tov and only heat it up. Right? The problem is, as you say, the Magen Avraham, as it is a stretch, because the whole point of the Derabanan was to say, not it's usher to cook in the same pot for a non-Jew, it's where it goes there because you might come to do that. Right? If it's only Gzeira Shema, then you can't tell me, well, I'm going to make sure that I'm doing it. The whole point was where it goes there because you might end up doing it. And the Magen Avraham himself, even if you accept the Magen Avraham, it might not help us. Right? It might not help you invite a Goy before Yom Tov, because it's one thing to say, I'm not going to cook more right before Yom Tov. Right before the meal. It's another thing to say that I'm not going to cook more just because everything's prepared, because I know that I remember times, you know, in my parents' house, right? You prepare everything before the Seder, right? And then, you know, half an hour before the Seder, especially second night, right, you have a lot of guests coming, and my mother would be like, maybe we didn't cook enough, right? You can prepare as much as you want, and then you look at the hot plate, and you look at the blech, and you say, oh my God, I didn't cook enough. And now, of course, you always did, and there's always extra food. But you, right, that fear, that irrational fear, that I need to last minute make another dish, right?
And especially, talk about Rosh Hashanah, talk about these days, people are vegetarian.
Exactly, right? And if you're worried about the Ron, right, he's a vegetarian, he has a peanut allergy, he is gluten-free, right?
And you don't know until you invite them. Nobody
right, and that. Someone tells you, you know, you can imagine the scene, right? You say, you see the guy, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, right? You know, 10 o'clock in the morning, what, 8:30 in the morning, let's say, you're going for a walk before shul, you see your non-Jewish neighbor, you say, look, I'm on my way to shul, I'm not doing any more cooking, according to the Magen Avraham, it's mutter for me to invite him, and I invite him for lunch, right? And I don't know exactly when davening's going to be over, so I say, okay, it's a long davening, 12:30. I get home, davening goes quicker, I get home 11:45, right? And, you know, as sometimes non-Jews want to get a message to you who know you won't answer the phone, right, will call and they'll leave a message hoping you'll hear the message, and you hear, oh, I hope it's not a bother, but I'm planning on coming, but yeah, I'm, just so you know, I'm, you know, gluten-free, right? And suddenly you freak out, he's already coming, right? And, you know, the dishes you have are, you know, a deli roll and a noodle kugel and, you know, it's Yom Tov, you could have soup in the morning, you know, you have matzo ball soup and kreplach, and literally everything has wheat in it, and you freak out, and then you go and cook, right? You can imagine the scene, that even when you thought you cooked everything, so you're right, right? There's good reason to reject the Magen Avraham, but even if you accept the Magen Avraham, it might not help you inviting before Yom Tov, but at least it's a second svar to keep in mind. Okay. If you look at 7, in Darkei Moshe, so the Ramban now, in the regards to Avada Mishvachos, opens up another avenue. And he says, V'chein kazam Mordechai perk beis de beitza. Tishvacho shalanu hol v'efshar lefaisinu v'midya. Achrini sharei afilu mar b'shvilayu. So he says, the reason it's mutter is because just like in the case of the Issas HaKlavim, we allow you to cook for animals. If you're going to be able to give other food to the animals and not feed them this food, because then it's ro'ili Yisrael. So the same thing is true by Shvachos, because as long as you have a lot of food around, so even if you cook for them, you could always give them something else, right? I mean, you could always say, oh, I'm planning on letting, you know, giving my non-Jewish help stew for lunch, so I'm cooking them a stew. And then, you know, whatever, they had a big dinner the night before, and you're having extra guests, you say, you know what, I'll keep the stew, and like, you know, we have, you know, it'll be sandwich day, right? What?
Almost like a hovel.
It's some sort of hovel, right? The Gemara calls it a hovel, right? Efshar l'faisino is a form of hovel, right? That's what the Gemara had called it, right? That because efshar l'faisino nevela is a function of rabba, since we bask on the goal, but this sounds like a little bit better, because it's mutzah l'chatchila, right? Because, right, if you actually have other food, right? Well, let's say, you know, every other day, right? The way you budget out the lunches for your hired help is every other day. One day you have sandwiches, right? And one day you have a hot lunch, right? It's too expensive, a hot lunch every day, so you have good sandwiches one day and you have hot lunch the other day. But, you know, sometimes you'll do two in a row of one and two in a row of the other. So the Rama says, look, since the end of the day, you could always decide, you know what, I thought today would be, you know, the hot lunch day. But, you know what, it's too hot outside to have a hot stew. Make today, you know, day two of sandwich day, salad bar day, whatever. And the stew, so we'll have as part of the Yom Tov meal. So that's why the Rama thinks it's mutter for the Avadim, because you could always just give them something else that's around. The Nira Li, but still, according to Mordechai, nearly Dafka Bosa Tanur, Bosa Kedera. This is still only works if it's only Riva Shurim. This doesn't let you cook a separate dish, it just allows you to cook on the same dish, right? This is like the Ran. The Nira, but the Rama then continues. The Haide Kamar Venira Li Dafka Bosa Kedera, who's far as Mordechai. That's the Mordechai, Upolik as far as Ravya, but that's against the Ravya. The Matir Mitam De Efshala Vasinu. The Rav Yah goes farther and says, even in a separate pot, it's mutter. Because if you're saying it's mutter because you really could eat the food yourself, and therefore when you're cooking it, it's legitimately something that could be eaten by a Jew, then it should be mutter even to cook a separate dish, because you're not dead set on it going to the non-Jew. It could go to you.
So it doesn't hold like the Rashi.
Correct. Right, the Mordechai Paskins of the Rashba and the Ran, the Rav Yah, as the Darkei Moshe points out, went farther. And he says, no, Efshar Lefaisinu is its own Svara. Ramitam Efshar Lefaisinu Dilfi Oso Dambik Derecher is not Mishari. And according to that, it would be Mutter even a separate pot. V'ibo Sekadera V'chol Gafnei Shari. If it was in the same pot, it should be mutter totally. V'had Asher Lazmune Mitam Ad Asi Laharbos B'Shvilayu Lobo Sekedera Mayri K'mosha Omra Malaya Isha V'chule. And the only reason we're worried about inviting people is you might cook in a separate pot. Alfa Bishin Esvicha Elu Lachadicha Achaz V'udim B'Tanur El Chayshin An Sheyar B'Acheret V'Chenu Das Aran V'Arash V'Perek Beis Debeitza. Now, what emerges, which is important from the Rav Yah, is that in theory, according to this, if I invite a non-Jew, and I even cook a separate dish for the non-Jew, right, but I know that, you know what, I cooked a separate dish for the non-Jew, but if I decide that I really need it, so then, you know, let him just have the stew that everyone else is having, and that will stay for me for my, you know, for a different meal, then that would possibly at least waive the Daraisa, right, not the Derabanan. But at least that would move it down from a Daraisa to a Derabanan.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What is the Gzera? Getting back to what Tuli said beforehand. The Gzera appears to be that once you have the Goy in your house, you may come and do an action. All these...
Or in advance of him coming to your house. Once you've invited him.
Okay, but it's either or. But all these are just tackling the before. They're not holding that there's any real gzera that when the goy physically gets into your house, you're concerned that you may cook for him.
I mean, you're worried that if you invite him, you'll end up cooking for him.
The question is when. In other words, all these reasonings that they're giving is based on in advance. So it's you can't invite a goy. The gzera would be you can't invite a goy because you may cook special for the goy prior to his getting into your place.
Correct.
Rather than you can't cook, you can't invite a goy because when he gets to your place, he may say he has a peanut allergy or something else, and you have to prepare.
No, that's also because that meaning no. The concern is that you might cook.
I don't think it was timing. It was just because he might cook for
right.
None of these explanations would resolve that. In other words, you prepared in advance. You now have the goy in the house.
No. So the Rush, the Ran, the Rama, right, right? We have to keep in mind there's always two problems. One is, are you violating a Daraisa? And two, does the Gzera make sense? Right? So the Rush, so if you paskin that Ribui Shirim is Mutter mi Daraisa, or Efshar Lefaisinu is Mutter Daraisa, as long as you have other food from his Daraisa, then all we're contending with is the Darabana, right? So the Rosh says, and the Ran says, well, if it's your Eved and Shifcha, as long as you solve the Daraisa, you're fine, because there's no Chshash of Shema Yarbeh. The Rama says, even, you can solve the Daraisa simply by saying, I could give him other food, and the only thing you have to contend with is Shema Yarbeh. Right? But there's no Shema Yarbeh for an Eved and Shifcha, and therefore it's Mutter. Now, all of those, you're right, only solve level one. All of those only say that if I do end up cooking, it's only derabanan, but it still doesn't say it's mutter. The only sheet that we've seen so far that pushes in the direction it might be actually mutter is the Magen Avraham, right? That if it's right before the meal, when we're not concerned you're going to cook, we actually let you even invite, because then we waive even the derabanan, right?
Which means he's not concerned of what happens when the goy is actually there.
No, it's not that he's not concerned, he just doesn't assume that it'll happen. Right? I mean, obviously, if you did cook for him, it would be aser. Right? The daraisa isn't gone, the darabanan is gone, meaning we're not concerned that you're going to cook extra for him, but obviously if you did, that would be aser midaraisa. But the important thing to note from the Darkei Moshe is that, right, all of them assume that in such cases, the only thing that exists is the darabanan, and not the daraisa, right? Which is important because when we're only dealing with a darabanan, right? If a guy came and said, I want food and you're not eating, and he asked you to cook treif, right? You can throw in all the svaros in the world of mipnei eva and all those things. It won't help you short of pikuach nefesh because it's a daraisa, right? If you say, we've solved the daraisa and we're only dealing with a darabanan, so then we're going to be more amenable for saying, well, maybe you can invite the non-Jew if we're assured that the daraisa is out of the picture, right? So as we'll see, when poskim start to suggest kulot, some will go in the direction of saying the derabanan is fundamentally waived, like the Magen Avraham, and some will go in the direction of saying because of the Rosh, the Ran, the Rajba, the Mordechai, the Ravya, we've successfully negated the daraisa. We haven't negated the derabanan, but there are compelling factors which override the derabanan, which in theory could exist. Right, so it's important to always keep in mind how many ways do we have of mitigating the daraisa, and then how many ways do we have of directly mitigating the darabanan, right? When we have the two of them together, when we can come up with possible suggestions, lakula. But you're right, the Darkei Moshe is only explaining, again, on the level of the daraisa. He notes, however, that according to the Rosh Chaim, you don't need any of the explanation of the Rosh and the Rajba and the like. The Rosh Chaim paskens like Tosfos that marba b'shiurim for a guy is asr midaraisa, and therefore there's virtually no way of getting around even the daraisa. Right. So the reason all of this is important is because if you paskens the Rosh Chaim or Bali Tosfos, then when you invite a guy to your house and you are marba b'shiurim for him, you're not just violating the darabanan that you might cook in a separate pot. You're violating the daraisa because anything you cook for him, even in the same pot, is asr midaraisa. It's the same thing as cooking treif for a non-Jew on Yom Tov itself. If you paskin with the Or Chos Chaim and the Bali HaTosfos, we're not just contending with the darabanan of not inviting a guy. We're dealing with the daraisa of cooking for a guy on Yom Tov.
Even an effort.
Right? Presumably even an effort. If you think we've solved the daraisa through Mizonos and Alecha, or through Efshar Lefaisinu, or through Ribu Shiurim, then we're only contending with the Darabanan, and there's more room to be makil. So it's important to see both how you contend with the Daraisas and the Darabanans, because if you haven't solved the Daraisa, you're not going to get anywhere. If you solve the Daraisa, then you can either directly limit the Darabanan, or you can say there are certain things that override the Darabanan, like Eva and the like, and those are basically the two directions that possibly exist to be Matir.
Why does Tosfos say you can't be marv for sure for a
what?
Why does Tosfos say you can't be marv for sure for a goy?
So that was what we saw 2 weeks ago, right? The Tosfos had said that marv shiurim only works in conjunction with Tzorach Yisrael. Mm-hmm. With Tzorach Yisrael. Right? It has to be for a Jew plus marv shiurim. If it's for a goy, right? Okay. So anti-Ochal Nefesh. Fine. So in 8, the Beis Yosef takes up this question again. He says, because of Oat, Isa's goy of Shir Khashmozan Salaf calls Manchis or Ochlan Mepitan Mitafshila Nefes Beyomtov. Now the Beis Yosef puts on a limitation. He says, okay, but even your Avadim and your Shvachos, so we've said for all the reasons above that you're allowed to cook for them, because you've solved the Daraisa and we aren't worried about the Darabanan. But Aval Ein Roy Layachid Lehem Pasoman Levadam. But obviously, the daraisa is going to come back into play if you don't just add extra food to the pot for him. You set aside, you're really nice to your servants normally, and you say, hey, I'm going to make a special dish for my oven. You can't do that, right? Always remember that just because we've solved the darabanan the daraisa still exists. So you can't then go and cook special for him. And he says, therefore, those people who bake in the non-Jews' ovens. Right, this was a thing. Not everyone had their own oven. So you baked in a communal oven, and sometimes they're owned by non-Jews. Venosin Scharan Pas. And they used to pay with bread. Right? The non-Jew would have this communal oven, and the way he would make money or make food is if you cook 10 loaves of bread, you would give him one loaf of bread. Right? So then, if you're going to do that, you can't, before you bake it, say, this is the guy's and the rest is mine. Because then, right, if you do it, if before you say, look, I'm going to cook all of them, and then one of them I'm going to have to give to the guy, then it's all the Tzarech Yisrael, because any of them is potentially for the Jew, and you need to give the non-Jew something, or he won't let you bake. But if you pick one out, then it's only for the non-Jew, and then you're at back at Daraisas. Ach achar afia, after you bake, nosen lo b'schara is a shir, to lefisha kol kikar ra'i li Yisrael, because since each loaf of bread could be for the Jew, have a kimo, shemizon osen alav, and then it's like the people who depend on you. Because he won't give you the right to bake if you don't give him some bread. And even though we could challenge this, he thinks this is the correct psak. That even if you're going to, right, in a case when it's mutter to give to the non-Jew, and it's mutter to cook for him, because at some level it's necessary for the Israel, we should avoid things that are or look like daraisas, meaning being miyached for the non-Jew. So, according to this, let's say, right, you cook a special dish on Yom Tov, right, which there are two people that like this, right? One is your son, and one is your non-Jewish neighbor who you have over sometimes on Shabbos, right? According to what the Beis Yosef is quoting, if when you cook that dish, you say, I'm cooking this for, you know, my neighbor, even though the Jew is also going to eat from him, you might violate the Daraisa, right? Not just the Darabonan, because you are miyachid, even though it's true that the Jew will be able to eat from it, right? Potentially. Now, maybe this is not exactly identical to the Beis Yosef's case, because you're not giving it only to the guy, right? But it sounds like the Daraisa is in play when you start specifying that things are for Goyim. So even if we're going to come up with a heter for non-Jews, what the Beis Yosef is telling you is that be careful. Because even if you're going to cook multiple dishes, don't start defining dishes as for the non-Jew, because then you're already playing with Daraisas and not Darabanans. Again, it might not be totally identical, because in that case, you're cooking it because he also likes it, but you know that people will eat it. So maybe that's going to be mutter, but I would just say that's right, something to think about.
You can't identify it. In other words, it's still as if it's in one pot. You may be cooking,
right, so it might be marbashir.
Your choice may have been predicated by your goisha friend.
Right, so it's not exactly identical. I'm not sure it's daraisa, but it might, as he says, he's not sure either, but he thinks you should be choshesh, because in that case, it's also not really for the guy, right? You're cooking the one loaf of bread for the guy, so you can cook your nine, which should be mutter, right? And even so, we avoid being miyached things. So then it...
All right, wait, well, that's the same as the soldiers and the kid and the little...
Right, well, that's where he's getting it from. You're right. I'm not sure if it's identical. I'm just wondering if it's sort of like it.
The case that you're saying is, for example, if there's just your son and the goyish neighbor that likes this kind of Yerushalmi kugel. So you're making a two-portion dish. So you know that only two people are going to eat from it. It's not like, you know, you have a pot for 10 and everybody's...
Right. That's what I'm imagining, right? Where... Again, is it ribush yirim and then mutter, or is it close to being miyached? I'm not sure, but that the Beis Yosef is already telling you on a daraisa level you have to be careful with things like yichud. Again, he's not sure this is true. He just worries that it's true, and then he just notes that Kosovar goes maimon the shloch lagay de goyim biyom tov Kosovar zaru the shari perish afal pi shasa las biyom tov shumalach tzarakoy mekamam the shloch lagay de goy shari. This is only to do malacha for him, but to send food to a guy, let's say you have leftovers, right, you're allowed to send it to him. And even though you're violating a different malacha, not cooking, but carrying, so he says, so you shouldn't carry it yourself, but you can ask a guy to carry it, right? If one neighbor comes by, you're allowed to say, hey, bring this to my other neighbor, because if it's a guy violating the malacha of Hotzah, that's mutter, right? So there Even though cooking per se you can't do, there are other things which you can play around with doing. Okay, so... What? So that's part of the question. Hotza is clearly... No, Hotza is mutter, but the question is, like all malachos on Yom Tov, it's mutter l'tzorcho chol nefesh. Now, Hotza might be different. It might be mutter l'gamrei, right? But he's not assuming that. Right? That goes Maimon is assuming carrying is like any other malacha, that it's only mutter l'tzorcho chol nefesh, or l'tzorcho hayom, k'tas, right? Right? In general, on Yom Tov, we paskin that you shouldn't carry for no reason. You don't. It doesn't have to be for food, but it has to be for a reason.
It was not for a reason to find it.
Well, right, but a goy might not count because achasheyachal lachem, right? Lachem, what's considered a need on Yom Tov is defined in light of lachem. Okay, to summarize where we are now, because again, we haven't yet seen the heterim, and just for the record, the heterim are hard to come by. As you can see, right, this is actually very complicated, but what we have so far is that we have two Isurim. We have Isur to cook for a guy, Isur to cook for an animal. How do we paskin? So, the Balamor says it's only Usur for for non-Jews, not for animals, because Mizonos and Olecha. We reject that. Though, if you accept the Balamor, then you might think that at least non-Jews that rely on you might be Mutter. But again, we reject that Elhalacha. We say that anyone who's not really within Ochel Nefesh is Usur, meaning both animals and non-Jews. Why is it usher? Now, there are two problems, Daraisa and Darabanan. So, on the Daraisa level, if you think that Ribui Shurim is mutter for a non-Jew, so then the only time it's usher me Daraisa cook for a non-Jew is either not kosher food or in a separate pot, which is the position of the Ran, the Rif, the Rush, and the like. If you think that Ribui Shurim for a guy is usher, then even cooking the same pot is usher me Daraisa, and that's the position of Tosos and the Orchos Chayim. Now, as we've seen in the case of Shivcha and Nachri, whenever we want to build any sort of heter, so first you need to contend with the Doraisa, and then you need to contend with the Darabanan. So if you think Ribu Shirim is mutter, it's easy, right? Ribu Shirim is mutter, and then all you need to do is say you're not going to cook extra for your Eved and your Shivcha. Or you say that you have Efshel Lefaisinu, you could give him other food, and therefore you solve the Doraisa, and then you add to that, and you're not going to cook extra for him, so you have the Darabanan. The same thing is going to be true when we get to any heterim to invite non-Jews on Yom Tov, because first thing you're going to have to do is make sure you're not violating Daraisa. Once,
you're not going to cook extra, or you're not going to cook in a separate pot for them.
That's what I mean, right? In a separate pot, right? In a separate pot,
you are cooking,
right? If you cook, so any heter we're going to see is going to first have to solve the Daraisa, and then come up with, like, just like we do by Shivcha and Eved, we'll have to do the same thing for anybody else. Explain why there's no Daraisa here, and why there's no Chash Darabanan. So far, the only person we've seen who, outside the context of Eved and Shivcha, has provided any Svara to say we're going to make on the Darabanan is the Magen Avram, who says that right before the meal, we can be Mekel. But as Tolly already notes, that's very hard, because the whole point of the Darabanan is not you're doing something Usur, you might do something which is Usur, right? And just because right before the meal, that doesn't mean we've solved the Chashash. Next week, we'll start with Shulchan Aruch, right, and the Nosei Kelim, to see whether we come up with any Atirim. You should know, we will have some heterim. So there will be a limud schuz, but it's far from obvious that it really is mutter. This is one of those things, when I asked one of the Rashi and YU, he didn't know of any heter. There are some, we'll see, but they're, as we can already see from the sugya, is a bit complicated to come across.